From Queensland, this is VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. The text edition is available by contacting QNews at wia.org.au.
Ipswich and District Radio Club held a very successful Wison Open Day at the clubhouse on Saturday the 13th of February. In this special report, you'll hear that visitors attended from as far afield as Woodford, Gold Coast and Toowoomba, with Darling Downs Radio Club also setting up a display. A good number of operators set up their own stations and repeaters to demonstrate what happens at a Wison-supported event. I had direct feedback that previous announcements on WIA and Q News helped raise awareness of the event, and this was evident by around 40 members and visitors on the day. I also caught up with event organiser Robert, VK4HBW, under a shady tree, and asked about Wison in 2021.
Okay, Wison is an emergency service team, which is a bit of the WIA. It's been going on for many, many years. I know Wison is pretty big down south in New South Wales and Victoria. They were there to support when the Ash Wednesday fires were on and the Newcastle earthquake. When they run out of communications, mobile phone technical, they go to the amateur guys who get comms through via the repeater links and whatever else they have to do, and that's the main thing for Wison up here in Queensland. You know, it's safety communication we mainly go with these days, like providing community safety comms for car rallies, bike rides, horse rides, running events, and everything like that which they require safety. So organisers of these events can put these events on for the public. We are basically now a community service to all these people.
Yes, Wison has reinvented itself since the mobile phone has come along. It's not as critical now in emergency situations like natural disasters. So using Wison to serve community groups and sporting groups with their long rides and marathons, it's really lifted Wison's profile once again. And in Ipswich's example, it's been a very valuable contribution to the club.
Yes, it has been, Alan. When I came back to the club, I brought some events with me. And it's grown. It all goes back to many years for me when I was the lead runner of a 500-kilometre event for 3 days every year for about 28 years. I did it for, and had a conflict to them. I got through one event, then it led into another. So basically, we do about 6 or 7 events a year. And as you all know, amateurs are not allowed to charge for the services, so we get donations, and the funds we get in help run our clubhouse, which I think we are one of the very few who own our clubhouse. So what we don't have, what the money we get in for membership, the rest of it has to come out, it has to come from somewhere. So these events are good, and we mix with the community, and it puts us out there, and it also gets us on the web pages of all the various clubs and on Facebook pages as well. It's enjoyable and it's nice to meet people.
Yes, it certainly helps raise the profile of amateur radio and Wison itself. Now, you must be happy with the open day here today. How many do we have here today?
I think we have about 30 or 40 people so far, including us. 40 people, it's a nice little turnout. We had a couple of people from the Gold Coast. I know one is here from Woodford, and a couple other people, and I am from Lowood. I've seen some old members of the Brisbane group who I used to be part of. Everyone's coming in here, seeing what we're doing, and I hope today has been a success, because it's nice to have some more people see our club and maybe even join the radio club here as well and be part of these events. Our events aren't hard, we're lucky. All our events, luckily, are pretty close to home. I think our furthest one is up at Mount Mee. Next one's Mount Glorious, and then come down here. I think our closest one here basically is either Lake Manchester or Upper Gold Creek, or Gold Creek Reservoir, Upper Brookfield. And we're lucky these events are the only half days, except for the one at Mount Coota. That's our real big one. It's called the Guzzler Ultra Marathon. It goes about 24 hours. It's a 100K run from Mount Coota all the way out west to Lake Manchester on running tracks, of course, and back in. It takes them about 20, fast runs about 12 hours, slow is about 25, as I remember from last year's event. That one is where we need a lot of bodies to man the checkpoints, but it brings in a nice donation for the club to keep us running. And without that, we wouldn't have what we got here today. And I'm very proud to be the organiser and be part of this great radio club, which I have been now for the last about 10 years, but I've been treasurer for the last 5, and also the events coordinator. I'm proud of the guys I've got for 6 years, and I hope we keep going and keep growing.
Anybody who's hearing this broadcast today on Q News, if they would like to put their hand up and help us out in the future, all they have to do is contact you.
That's correct, yes. You can email wison@vk4wip.org.au. It'll come straight to my email address. Any other queries for the club, you can send it to the secretary at vk4wip.org.au.
Thank you, Robert, VK4HBW. Reporting from Ipswich, this is Alan, VK4 Hotel India Tango.
Hello, I'm Jeff Emery, VK4ZPP, and I've been thinking. I have seen that some clubs are already preparing submissions to the ACMA consultation paper. Likewise, I have noted that many operators are firming around option A, the choice to keep matters as they are. So it was a shock to read a post during the week that appears to contain an email response from a senior person within the regulator. There have been people suffering widespread interference on some of the shortwave bands, which are primary allocations to the amateur radio service. The interference is of the type which is typical of the over-the-horizon radar used in many countries, including Australia. It is reported that some of the affected operators emailed the ACMA to report the interference, as is their right. After all, what is it that the equipment and authority to verify disturbance and set in place the means to have the offending jurisdiction informed, if it isn't the regulator? As I understand the system, as it was written up many years ago, complaints of interference from outside Australia are verified and the information passed on to our Department of Foreign Affairs, which then, in turn, conveys it to the opposite department in the country concerned, and it is passed to the regulator for action. It certainly seems long-winded, but it has been very effective for removing amateur band interference, often caused by accidental emissions. But my little story has a further twist. A copy of a form email was posted which seems to come from the ACMA, and it states that the request is low priority. When the ACMA was telephoned to clarify why a complaint of interference to a gazetted amateur band was not going to be actively addressed, the operator was advised that in fact some work had been done and it would be passed on to the appropriate amateur bodies to refer to the international bodies. You will note that I pointed out the published procedure was for the regulator to initiate action via the diplomatic channels. This is the format required under the various treaties to which the Australian government is signatory. The International Telecommunications Union is the body which is now part of the United Nations structure and which is the overarching governing and advisory body for telecommunications. The International Amateur Radio Union, IARU, is the coordinating body for the three regions and forms an advisory function to the ITU via the World Radio Conference. You will note the IARU is not a regulatory body, as that is a function of government, and we are served, or otherwise, by the ACMA in this regard. Now, what this incident, if it is correctly reported, means is that we already have a de facto class licensing regime with little effort to uphold Australia's international obligations. I hope and I pray that this incident is an aberration. Well, the reports aren't actually correct. If this is correct, I believe it invalidates the statements in the consultation paper. I'm Jeff Emery, and that's what I think. How about you?
Across Queensland from VK4WIA, you are tuned to Q News, the state-based part of the WIA National News Service. In the Burdekin, Dalrymple and Hinchinbrook districts, plus the city of Townsville, the Q News transmission can be heard on the VK4RAT VHF repeater immediately following the 9 a.m. WIA news every Sunday morning. On behalf of the Tarkink retransmit team, this is Lyndall, VK4ZM.
Thanks, Lyndall. And also, thanks to Jeff, VK4ZPP, and of course, Alan up there in Ipswich, VK4HIT. Okay, to the Sunshine Coast, where all USA grades of license will be held at the Sunshine Coast Amateur Radio Club. That happens March 13. All details on vk4wis.org or contact Trent. His email, vk4ts@wia.org.au. Central Highlands Amateur Radio Club will be participating in the John Moyle Memorial Field Day Contest March 2021 at the Model Aero Club, Mosquito Creek, and they want to hear from you. Build up the points for our good friends in CQ. Redfest, that happens out near Redcliffe on April the 10th. The Clairview Gathering happens April 30 to Monday morning, May 3. Again to the Central Highlands, and the Theresa Creek Campout is on from Friday the 28th till Sunday the 30th of May at Theresa Creek Dam, that's southwest of Claremont. And as you heard in the national news from Shirley VK5YL, Alara Meet 2021, which was to be held in Bendigo in October, has been cancelled. Now till next we meet, I'm Graham VK4BB. Thanks for tuning our way as you're going your way.
From Queensland, this has been VK4WIA and the weekly Q News Amateur Radio News Service. We thank our rebroadcast team and you for listening. And remember, internet text of this news is available by dropping a note to QNews at wia.org.au.